the group for having me speak. I'm delighted, thank you, Sally, for asking me. This room, you know, as with most of the meetings I've been to since I got to Montreal, it's just a great warmth in people, and I feel very welcome here. And it's really helped me, you know, to stay sober in moving to a new place, because, you know, I'm a newcomer again. You know, I have to really. I don't have a connection with people here yet, and I'm starting to make it. And I find it difficult, you know, because I'm so proud, you know, and to come back in and to have to approach people. And you know, people have been very warm and very welcoming in Montreal, you know, and I'm very grateful for that, because I need to be at meetings, and I know I can't stay sober unless I'm at regular meetings. And I need the connection with women and men in the program, and to feel like I can come in and say how I feel and get things off my chest, you know. And since I got here, actually, you know, I'm here 2 months actually this week, and I've had a lot of ups and downs emotionally, to be honest. And I found it difficult in the first month to actually make meetings consistently, because I wasn't sure where I was living, I wasn't sure where they were, and then just to actually get myself out of the house and go to a place where you have to meet new people and reach your hand out. But it's starting to come together now, I have to say, and you know, I'm definitely feeling a lot more comfortable in the meetings, and you know, thank God, like I was able to stay sober in that time of disconnection, you know. I got sober in New York. And I have my sober date is February. I have 5.5 years clean and sober. And, you know, my life only began, I think, whenever I actually stopped drinking. And I actually left New York in May of this year. So I had a bit of time then. I was disconnected for a while before I got here as well, just to say that. And I did meetings in Ireland for 2.5 months. So it's good to have a bit of an anchor again. And to be in one place and be settled and be, this is where I'm at, you know. Anyway, I know a few people have heard my story, actually, because I spoke in Westmount a couple of weeks ago. And I guess I'll just start with what happened, how it started, what happened, and how it is now. I think that's how it is, how it's put. I started drinking when I was 16. I'm obviously Irish, and, you know, I come from a good family. Like, I knew the difference between right and wrong, and I never saw alcohol abuse going on, so I knew there was a different way to live. You know, I knew there was you know, my parents are good living people, you know. And from the start, I drank in excess, and you know, I can remember, I mean, I blacked out from the start. And even though I can remember the first time I drank and I blacked out, I was terrified what alcohol could do. I was terrified this thing could take, you know, could obliviate me for, you know, hours or a day. Actually, I was very sick after the first time I drank. I was out for a couple of days. And I can remember after that, instead of with that fear of alcohol, I wasn't thinking about, I'm never going to do that again. I was thinking about, I'm going to do that again. I can't wait to do that again and get the money to do it. And I would never touch vodka again. And, you know, alcohol gave me the courage, you know, to be who I thought everybody wanted me to be. You know, I can remember a time in my adolescence, like when I changed from being like this happy-go-lucky, enthusiastic, innocent child who kind of embraced the world, to being totally obsessed with what people thought of me, and getting totally introverted, and fear of people began. I can nearly remember clearly that time and incidences that happened, and where I started to really care about what people thought and how I was around people, and that uncomfortability and restlessness started to come up, and anxiety. And with alcohol, I could let go of that. It gave me all the confidence and courage that I needed, and I could be courageous enough to be who you were, you know. And I always looked at people and wished I was like them. And I always felt like that. I heard people talk about being like the square peg in the round hole, and I'd never heard it put that way until I got to AA, actually. And for me, I always felt like everyone else was in on some secret, and I wasn't in on it, and I always had to try and get in on it, you know. I felt like I was outside of and I also felt that nobody liked me. You know, I have to say that I felt that people didn't want me around, that I was, you know, a pain, you know. And that just uncomfortability. And with alcohol, that took that away. And, you know, as I said, I drank in excess, and I mean, everyone around me was also doing the same thing. You know, I don't think that I felt anything different when I was in my late teens. I went to college, and I, you know, I wanted to get away from home. You know, because my parents, you know, had values and rules, and it wasn't acceptable to be coming in drunk and to be, you know, for me, like, I never wanted the party to end when the bar closed. I mean, whether there had to be people come back with me, you know, and the continuation could have taken a lot of different forms, some of which I'm not proud of, you know. And but that's where my disease was. I couldn't be with myself, or I couldn't, you know, I couldn't let the buzz stop, you know. And you know, my parents, obviously, like normal people, they didn't want that wasn't acceptable. And couldn't wait to get away from home, and went to college. And my main thing with going to college was freedom. And from the get go, I was working part time jobs to fund my drinking. And of course, I thought there was nothing wrong with this, and I wasn't the only one doing it, you know. But when I was 19, I ended up going to Holland. You know, at this stage, other substances had started to come into play. At that stage, in the mid-90s, there was a big rave culture happening in Ireland. And, you know, it seemed very innocent and fun from the outside, but from the inside, it was very degenerate. And there were a lot of very destructive, serious drugs being taken at that time, and still are, I think, you know. And I got into that, and, you know, by myself working in Holland for 3 months at the age of 19. And when I was there, I met other people who wanted to drink and party just like I wanted to drink and party. And it progressed into now, like, what used to take place in the course of an evening could take place for a whole weekend, you know, so there could be a 3-day session go on. And, you know, as I talk, I realise it's like I've heard my story so many times, especially in Montreal, where there are a lot of young people sober here, you know. And I've heard my story a lot of times here, and there's nothing different about it. There's nothing unusual about it. I drank too much. Other substances came in that got completely out of control. I lost all my values. It was very destructive. And, you know, I lost connection with my family. Did a lot of great geographics. And alcohol was controlling my life, I think, from very early on. You know, I was deciding what college I was going to, who I was hanging out with, what I was going to do, the courses I was taking, what I could muscle through and get through without putting too much in, the people I was going out with, it dictated everything. And, you know, I ran away from anyone who wanted the best for me, and the people who cared about me, you know, and I pushed them all away. And, you know, continued on until I was like 26 years of age, and I was sitting in New York. And, you know, I had moved around from Philadelphia, San Francisco, New York, and my drinking everywhere I go was getting worse. And in Philadelphia, when I lived in Philadelphia, you know, all the other addictions got a lot worse, and I knew my life was spiraling away, totally out of control. And anyway, so I got to New York, and at this stage, you know, psychologically, the head was completely gone. You know, I really, when I got to AA, I wasn't playing with a full deck at all, and, you know, my thinking was completely turned upside down. And, you know, I'm not going to talk too much and give a blow-by-blow account of the drinking and drunkalogue, because we all know how we end up coming in here, you know, just in complete despair, spiritually, emotionally, physically, everything bankrupt. And, you know, I had nowhere else to go, and I knew I'd made a connection now that, like, the alcohol was causing the issues that I had. And, you know, I really was scared. And so I made my first meeting in May of 2002. It was after a Maury weekend. It wasn't the worst ever drinking binge that I'd had. At that stage, I was trying to control what I was doing. I was trying to make work. I was trying to balance everything and keep my head above water, and completely trying to prove to the world that I was in absolute control of what was going on around me. And I was terrified, because I knew I wasn't. And you know, my luck has started to catch up with me, you know, and I'd met someone who had been in AA, so I got this notion that I knew that there was help there, and I knew that there was a place I could go to get help for my drinking. I had absolutely no clue whatsoever of what was happening in Alcoholics Anonymous and what this was about. So I made my first meeting anyway, and it was a Wednesday night after Memorial Day, and I can remember that night, and something, not to be cliched, but I remember leaving that meeting thinking that the mask was off, you know. Now, that was in May. It took me like 7 months to get honest in this program and to really like realize what this is about. I'm learning what this is about, you know. But you know, I stopped drinking in my life, and I started coming to the meetings one day at a time. And from that day on, my life has got better. Now there's been lots of ups and downs within that time. But I put the drink down, and you know, going from what it had been to now this, you know, where you're going to meetings and you're not dealing with the self-esteem issues of the drinking and the physical and all that, you know, and the mental of substance abuse, you know, things got better. There were other substances that I slipped and slid with in that 7 months. And, you know, I was speaking to somebody recently there, and we were talking about this whole honesty factor and you know, how if there's something niggling in there, eventually it'll catch up with you, and eventually you will end up, you know, going to that destructive level. And, you know, I had picked up codeine and picked up various things in that first year. I'm just saying that because, you know, I was speaking to somebody recently who's going through that, this. And eventually then I did actually go out again in the February of that following year. And I think that was when I realised that what powerlessness was. You know, I didn't pick up a drink, thank touch wood, because of my fear of what alcohol. I actually really thought that if I drank, I would commit suicide. I thought that would be where I'd go, you know, because I'd just lose my mind, you know, I'd be out of control in a blackout or something. But I saw what powerlessness was, and I started to understand more what this disease was. And, you know, previous to that, like, I was coming to meetings and thinking how great I was going to these meetings, and look at me, aren't I great, like, I'm cleaning my life up, and I'm doing all this. And I never really appreciated the fact that really and truly it's the higher power and the people in the rooms that were helping me to get sober, you know. And I never had taken in the idea of the way of the program, you know. It was all about me and what I was doing and how great I was, you know. And when I came back and shared my day account again, I mean, I talked to people, I'd made connections at that stage, you know, and you know, I talked to people and said, no, you've got to start again, you've got to start, put your hand up and start again. And that's when my recovery began, you know. And you know, I got a sponsor and started to slowly but surely get into the steps. I was completely baffled by what that was all about, even though I thought I knew what it was about. You know, I always someone who thought I thought I knew so much, you know. I wish I knew now what I thought I knew when I was 18, you know. But I had to really be humbled, and the sponsor I had, like, I still have her today. I still talk to her a couple of times a week. She was tough, and you know, I'd have to go to her. I'd go to her once a week, and we'd slowly but surely started to read the literature, and the 12 and 12 and the daily reflections. It's only actually in the last couple of years of my recovery that I've actually got into reading the big book, and really understanding it and taking it in. And I still have so much to learn in recovery, you know. But slowly but surely, I started to find that bit of peace of mind, and you know, I did a fourth step and a fifth, and you know, I've done a few actually in recovery. And if, you know, as after a couple of years of coming through of being away from alcohol, you know, I started to actually go out and live life and take risks and take new things on. I get involved in relationships and you know, change my work and stuff like that. And with everything I've done sober, it's been a huge challenge emotionally, you know, because I realised that I had no skills whatsoever to live. You know, I didn't know how to be in the world or how to be in the workplace or how to be, still I'm learning so much about how to be in relationships and what's expected of me. And, you know, so, you know, there are times when it was painful, but like I always just would look back and realise what I'd come from. Nothing has ever been as bad as how I felt that was the last couple of years of my drinking. Nothing in recovery, you know. And if I keep that up front and just keep remembering that by listening to the people who are coming in, you know, and identifying with them, you know, I think I can have a chance, you know. But I need to do that, you know, because, you know, I need to hear, I need to share my story too, because you can forget, you know, where you came from, you know, and there's a couple of, you know, recently I had reason to read The Doctor's Opinion again, and, you know, just to really, to realise how serious this is, that you know, full-blown alcoholics are completely mentally, you know, gone, you know, and to have a chance to have a chance to not have to live that way, you know, it's a real gift. So anyway, as I said, I'm now, as I said, moved here, and recovery today, like, I have a lot of challenges going on. It's not, I mean, I do definitely struggle with a lot of things, you know, at the minute, like, one of the biggest challenges I have is forgiveness and, you know, and my family relationships. And I understand today that I have to really get my ducks in a row in those relationships before I can expect to be able to have other healthy relationships with other people. And that's where the real work is for me, to try and be humble and get rid of that whole self-centeredness. I mean, I had no clue of what self-centeredness was when I came here. And it's slowly but surely I'm starting to realise that everything that goes on in my mind is completely centred around everything that happens to me. My first thing is, how is this going to affect me? And I do understand today that I have to try and let go of that, because that's ultimately not going to serve any spiritual purpose, you know, and it's not going to give me the happiness that will keep me sober ultimately, I guess, you know. But I have a lot of work to do in that area, and, you know, I have a difficult relationship with my mother, and that's a big challenge for me, you know, and that's something I have to really work on and keep praying about. You know, and I realised, like, that in my relationships with people, that there's more expected of me than I had, you know, had thought at one time. I used to think that as long as I didn't engage in conflict and kind of kept my side of the street clean, that kind of way, that I was doing the right thing. And now I realise that there's more, you know, I have a duty, you know, and it's not just a matter of, like, staying, like, maybe isolated-ish, you know, and not engaging in conflict with people, but I have to be able to, I have a duty to keep myself in a spiritual condition whereby I can deal with other people even if they're insane, you know, and that's been a big realization for me, you know, just to have tolerance with others, you know, and it's not enough to just stay around healthy people, you know, or like people that I enjoy being around, you know, that I really have more, there's more expected of me, you know, and I recently got involved with the 12 step group, and I know I really need to do that, and you know, so far I've enjoyed it, and I can see even tonight, like, being able to say hello to some of the women, you know, and it's great for me to be able to do that, you know. I feel good about that, and you know, I'm grateful to be here, and today, like, I say that I do have like some depression, you know, from time to time that comes and goes. And, you know, the thing that I love about coming to AA is I meet other people who totally identify with that, you know, and from a non-judgment point of view, and I hear what I need to hear. You know, the first thing someone said to me yesterday was, well, have you taken any exercise recently, you know? And that's just, it's that simple, you know. It's a matter of me going out there and dusting it off, making meetings, doing the things I did when I first got here, and, like, doing the things that I know help with these things. Exercise is a huge thing, or, you know, prayer, or connecting with people, or lifting the phone. So, you know, I always hear what I need to hear here, and, you know, I understand that I need to work this every day. I need to continue to, and I need to reach out to people as well, and that's the only way that I get to keep it, and I have to work on those things, you know, and that's really all I have to say. I hope I haven't been too short, but or too long either. But I'd just like to thank the group for having me again, and thanks for letting me share.